found in the book of Genesis, chapter 15 and 16. And we find that the Lord appeared unto Abraham in a vision, and spake unto him, and said unto him, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now, this is the fifth time that the Lord appeared to Abraham. Abraham was then subject to appearances of God in his life. That's a sign and a token that God has a favor and a love to us when he appears unto us. He spake unto Abraham in a vision. God sometimes came of old in visions to his people to make known his will and to also direct his children in the way that they should go. We find that Paul was on the way to Damascus and he had a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find likewise that Isaiah had a vision of the Lord sitting upon his throne high and lifted up. Peter likewise went up on the top of the housetop and he fell into a trance and he had a vision. God let down a sheet knit at four corners filled with all sorts of unclean animals. Ezekiel the prophet was subject to many visions that God gave unto him above many of the other prophets that lived before and after him. And God was pleased then to appear unto Abraham in a vision and spake unto him and said, Fear not, Abraham. What the condition of Abraham's mind was, what the state of his soul was at this present time, Scripture does not say. God never speaks in vain. When he speaks, fear not, there must have been fears in the heart of Abraham. What the fears were, the commentary thinks, he was filled with fears concerning the kings over whom he had triumphed, for that they would gather themselves together again and come and destroy him and his little settlement. What they were, we know not. But he spake and said, Fear not, Abraham. He knew him by name, and he knew his condition. How often do we not read in Scripture that God speaks, Fear not? The people of God are subject to many fears, and therefore God has spread throughout his precious word so many fear nots. They are a fearing people. If I should enumerate some of their fears, it may reach your particular keys. When God begins with his spirit in the heart of a sinner, immediately that sinner is subject to fear. Fearing, in the first place, death. Fearing to meet God. Fearing that it isn't the work of God. As the spirit progresses with its work, they begin to fear that they have no true faith. They have no love. They have no hope. They begin to fear that God will never have anything to do with them because they are such great sinners. Their sins are so many and so numerous. And they find that they're so weak and so helpless against sin. And they fall so headlong into it so often, which causes them so many fears. They fear many times where God withdraws himself and they find themselves so dead and so lifeless and so prayerless and so unexercised. They fear that their work is not the work of God. They fear that God will never return back to them. All God's dear children have many fears. And let me ask you, if you are one of them, have you ever had a fear not in your life? I'm sure that God has met your case. Under the ministry of the word, sometimes when you read the scriptures, but then God has used his precious word, and he has said, fear not. And all fear has been taken away. How wonderful it is when God speaks to his dear children in this respect. Abraham was said to fear not. I am thy shield for thy exceeding great reward. A shield was the most important defensive armor that the ancients had. It was made of bull's hide leather, 7 times thick, and they used it around their left arm to ward off blows that would be aimed at them. God speaks here and says to Abraham, I am thy shield. I am thy protector. Thy enemies cannot harm thee. I will ward off every blow that is directed to thee. I will keep thee as the apple of my eye. I am thy protector, thy shield. I am also thy exceeding great reward. A reward is something that is a gift. Sometimes it comes in and through labor and in and through exercise, that we are rewarded. Likewise, comfort and joy is a reward in and through what we have done. There will likewise be a final reward in the great day of judgment, when God will set aside the wicked from the righteous, and each will receive their reward. But here God says to Abraham, I am thy exceeding great reward. Abraham, I am thy God. I love thee, Abraham. I am thy portion. I am thy all and in all, Abraham. God then lets himself out unto this man in a wonderful way. Wouldn't you like him to come to you and let himself out like that to you, to say unto you that he is your shield, your exceeding great reward, your portion, your all and in all, for time and eternity? It was not because of anything in Abraham. It was no merit on the part of Abraham. God just came to him and spake to him in this way. It was of grace that he manifested himself unto this man. And now Abraham was brought into communion with God. He was set at ease immediately by the words, fear not. And now Abraham, he had many questions on his mind. And God had given him promises that of him there would be a numerous seed, and that he would give him the land upon which he was dwelling, and that he likewise would give it unto his seed. And now when God brought him into communion with himself, before this Abraham, he had received these promises and awaited the time that God would fulfill them. But now Abraham was 10 years already in the land of Canaan. He was 85 years of age, and his wife was 74. She was beyond the age of childbearing, and Abraham questioned in his mind how this was going to take place. And therefore he came unto God, and he said, Lord God, all I have in my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. He is my servant, and he shall be heir unto all that I have. For thou hast promised me that thou would also give unto me this land, and a seed would come forth out of me. How shall this take place, Lord, where I have only this man, and where my wife is so old, and I likewise? He had then questions that he liked God to answer. concerning the promises that he had received. There may be somebody listening to me, I hope there is, that has likewise received, it may be years ago, a promise. And oh, when you received that promise, you were so exercised with it, oh, you were so brought near to God and you could plead it before him, that he would fulfill his word spoken to your soul. But as the years multiplied, then the exercise concerning this promise subsided. Sometimes you even forgot the promise. The promiser was out of sight. And then many questions started to arise in your mind of whether that promise was a promise of God. And if it was, wouldn't it have been fulfilled? Wouldn't God have brought it to pass? And when will it ever be fulfilled? But these questions likewise were in the mind of Abraham. And he desired of God a sign to prove unto him that God would fulfill his promises. My hearers, have you ever had such a promise? Have you ever been exercised in life concerning what God has spoken to your soul? And now it may be you wonder whether it was of God or not. And you have so many questions. Do you ever get into communion with God? Do you ever have access, nearness to God in and through prayer? Do like Abraham. Present the questions to him. Say, Lord, then and then you gave me this promise. And oh, when shall it be fulfilled? When shall I receive what thou hast promised to give me? Oh, what a mercy when we are brought into communion with God and we can remember what he has spoken unto us. Sometimes we have it not on our minds. We forget it. And we lose the opportunity of presenting it to God. But Abraham brought it to God. And my hearers, God condescended to meet with him and give him a sign and a token that he would most surely fulfill this promise. Before Abraham said that he had no seed as yet, and that only this man would inherit everything that he had. And God said unto him, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels, he shall be thine heir. And he brought him outside of his tent, and he said, look upward to the heavens, and see if you can count the stars, and so shall thy seed be. Confirming again the promise that he had given unto Abraham. Oh, how good was God to this man. Has he ever been that good to you? Has he ever confirmed the promise that he has given you earlier in life? And given again such faith to believe that he will most assuredly grant you what he has put into your heart to ask him for. Oh, my hearers, it may be that you likewise are so sunk in unbelief and so filled with many fears, and you think, oh, it wasn't of God. Surely I would have had it already. My ears, just look at the experience of Abraham. It came to an utter impossibility on the side of Abraham and his wife. And then God began to fulfill his promise. And this is the way God works. When everything of us is gone and every hope is gone, then he reveals his love, his grace, his mercy, his favor. Has he never confirmed under the ministry of the word that he will most assuredly give unto you what you have been asking him for? Abraham desired a sign, and every one of God's people come up to his house desiring a sign, desiring a token that they are his, that he is leading them, that he loves them. And haven't you ever had that under the word? And when that has come, or hasn't it not been like it was with Jeremiah, But when I found thy word, I did eat it, and was to the joy and to the rejoicing of my soul. Oh, how sweet it is when God gives us a sign, gives us a token, gives us to believe that we are his and that he is leading us through this veil of tears to that land above, Canaan, that land of eternal rest. And now it pleased God to condescend that you speak unto Abraham and said unto him, I am the Lord God that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, and I will give unto thee this land upon which thou art dwelling. Here God brings Abraham back to the land of Ur and speaks in this wise. Abraham, I am that great Jehovah. I am he that brought thee out of that land where you worship idols, where you bow down to them, and where you serve them. I called you out of the multitude of those people, and I brought you out. And I brought you into this land to give this land unto thee and to thy seed as a possession. For this is just like the preface to the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. My hearers, has that ever taken place in your life? Has God ever brought you out of the Egypt of this world? Has he delivered you from worshiping idols and serving the devil, serving the world, serving sin, and brought you out from a multitude of people and gave you a promise that you would inherit that everlasting Canaan above? All my hearers, I am sure this took place in your heart. There came a separation. There came such a change in you. Oh, you began to see and to feel what a sinner you were. And you began to long and to desire to be reconciled with God. And it pleased God in his infinite mercy to reveal a way in Christ Jesus whereby you could be saved. The possibility was given to you that you could see in him there was forgiveness for a sinner like you. Did you ever have that before? Did your heart ever go out to God? Did you ever have a longing and a desire after Jesus and his righteousness before? Who has placed this in your soul? Who has caused this to come into it? With all your fears and anxieties, you may be assured that the dead have no such feelings. They have no such desires. It is God that has led you out. And do you think now because he has done this and you feel so left, so forsaken, that he's going to leave you forever? Such is not this God that I am speaking about. He is a faithful God. He was faithful to Abraham, and he's faithful to each and every one of his dear children. And Abraham was likewise spoken to again. It appears that the sun was going down. He must have been in communion with God pretty near all day. And God commanded him that he should take a heifer of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a she-goat, and a turtle dove, and a pigeon. And it appears that Abraham knew just what he had to do with these animals, for he killed these animals and he laid them side by side over against each other, and he left a path in the middle of them. Now, this was the way that they entered into a covenant with each other in ancient times. Now, they killed the animals and left a space for each one to walk through the center, intimating thereby that he who broke the covenant would most certainly be visited by the divine justice and vengeance of God and would be consumed as these animals were. And now Abraham did as God commanded him. Very obedient was Abraham to what God speak unto him. And now there came a horror of great darkness upon Abraham. And he fell into a deep sleep, something like the sleep that Adam fell into when God took the rib from his body and made Eve out of it. This brought Abraham in a state of great reverence and brought him away from all worldly thoughts. And his mind was immediately spiritual. And God condescended to speak unto him and said unto him that he would give unto him and to his seed the land upon which he was, and that his seed would dwell 400 years as strangers in that land, and they would be subject to those that were over them. They would be treated very hardly. But after 400 years, God would bring them out with much substance, and he would judge the nation that likewise had subject them to that punishment. Here then Abraham receives a promise that his seed would dwell as strangers in that land. And then they would enter into a land which they were strangers of and dwell 400 years. This took place, my hearers, with the seed of Abraham. For they dwelt in the land of Canaan first as strangers. And then they were brought by Jacob down into the land of Egypt. And there his seed multiplied so exceedingly, and that for 400 years they were slaves and bondmen in the land of Egypt. And at the end of 400 years, that God who gave Abraham that promise fulfilled his word and brought them people out from under their slavery and bondage. And he likewise judged that nation, bringing severe plagues upon Egypt and causing likewise Pharaoh and his host to be drowned in the Red Sea, delivering his people and bringing them out again into this land of Canaan. This God then speaks by prophecy unto Abraham and said that his seed would be a stranger in the land and in the other land into which they would go. This likewise is a type of every one of the spiritual seed of Abraham. They become strangers in the land. Strangers and pilgrims seeking a country that is much better. And my hearers, has God made you a stranger here below? Oh, when God comes into our life, then there is a separation made. And such a separation, my hearers, that cuts us loose from everything that is united to us by the flesh. Yea, even husband and wife are separated when God comes. Oh, my hearers, then this person becomes a stranger. They become strangers to their own family. They become strangers to those that they work with. They become strangers here below, because God has separated them. He put a new life into them. He put new desires into their hearts. He gives unto them new ears, new eyes. He gives them a new heart. He gives them likewise something that they never had before, himself dwelling within them. Oh, they may say everything has become new. And when such a person is separated in this way, oh, he is a stranger here below. He can't go along with the world. He can't serve the world anymore. He can't serve sin anymore. He can't serve the devil anymore. And all you will find, just as these Israelites did down in the land of Egypt, oh, they were put under taskmasters, and they were forced to do things that they had never done before. Oh, they were subject to those that were above them. And so, my hearers, they were being persecuted. And when you become a stranger here, you will find the world against you. you will find them mocking you, ridiculing you, hating you, despising you, and rejecting you and not wanting to have anything to do with you. You are a stranger to them. They don't understand you or your religion. They won't have any part of you. What a mercy. What a blessing. It's a very hard thing to experience this for the flesh, but it's such a wonderful thing to have God separate us, my hearers, and to be a stranger, and to know that this God loves us, this God is with us, this God is leading us, and that this God will bring us safely home to himself in heaven above. How many strangers do I have listening to me? I am afraid there are very few. But do you still love the world? You love sin? You love the things of time and sense? Never experience a separation from them? Oh, you are then not of the seed of this spiritual Abraham. You are still in the world. And oh, what an awful ending awaits your life. May God in his mercy come down with his spirit and make you a stranger here below, a pilgrim seeking this wonderful country above. And God promised this unto Abraham. And now we find while Abraham was in this horror of great darkness, that the sun began to go down, and then there came a burning furnace and a lamp passing in between these animals that he had laid on the ground. This was a token of the divine presence of God. This was a token unto Abraham that God had accepted the sacrifices and that he entered into a covenant with him. And we may be sure that Abraham likewise went in between the pieces of these animals, verifying the covenant and entering into it with God himself. God then gave his approbation unto Abraham and verified that he would keep his word. And now we find Abraham getting old, and his wife likewise. And Abraham, he was looking forward that God would fulfill his promise to him, but now 10 years already in the land of Canaan, no children, no heir. When was it going to take place? And now Sarah, she said unto him, "The Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Take now Hagar, my handmaid, and take her to be your wife, and it may be that by her we may have children." For this Hagar, she was an Egyptian. She was the handmaid of Sarai. In all probabilities, the king of Egypt had given unto Abraham when he was down in that country during the famine this as a gift unto him and his wife, and they had taken her along with them. That this woman then was an Egyptian, and she was a servant. She was under Sarai. And now imagine who makes this match. Sarai. She makes the proposal to Abraham that he should take this woman to be his wife. How foolish. It wasn't that way from the beginning. When God created Adam and Eve, there was one woman. But when Christ was upon earth, he insisted upon it, that it was not so from the beginning. God had created them and they were joined together. And now Abraham was going to be given another wife, two wives, contrary to scripture, contrary to God's divine institution of marriage. He instituted it when he created Adam and Eve. And now you will take particular notice that Abraham did not consult God in this. The word of God teaches us that if we are even to get married, that we should acknowledge God and seek his face. For he who receiveth a wife from the Lord receiveth a good matter. Many don't receive them from the Lord, my hearers. And many just take them for fleshly purposes, for carnal reasons. They are not given to them by God. And now this was a carnal procedure on the part of Sarai and Abraham. They thought they would try to help God along, in other words. He had made these promises to them, and now nothing ever would come of it. They were both getting old, so you take her, and it may be that you would have children by her. And Abraham condescended to go along with her. You know, it was Adam that was likewise tempted by his wife, and he fell into sin. He consented when she handed him the fruit. And so likewise the father of the faithful, he fell before the persuasions of his wife, Sarai. And now they're joined in marriage, and immediately she conceives, and she is to have a child. And when this took place, then she despised Sarai, thinking, I am going to bring into this world an heir for Abraham. And Abraham will sure love me more than he does Sarai. And she despised Sarai, her mistress. And now this provoked Sarai. Her anger arose. She could not bear that this Egyptian despised her in this way. And she kind of thought that Abraham went along with her, because she went to Abraham and said, my wrong be upon thee. How foolish. Instead of saying, my wrong be upon myself. What a fool I was to offer you this woman. I never should have done that. But she puts the blame on Abraham. My wrong be upon thee, she says, and God judge between us. Throwing it upon God to make the proper judgment. And now when Sarai brought this to Abraham, Abraham, he said unto her, thy handmaid is in thy hand. Do with her as thou seest fit. In other words, she's only your servant. Go ahead and do what you want with her. Was this right of Abraham? Hadn't he not entered into a marriage covenant with her? Was she not his legal wife? Should he not just as well protect her as he did Sarai? Should he then just hand her over back to Sarai? Where Sarai was angry and in a fit of passion could not judge righteously and do righteously, he should have protected her, he should have defended her instead of her handing her back to Sarai. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, in other words, she made her a slave again. She made her do what she had done before. She had been her mistress, she had been her maid, and now she wanted her to do the same thing again. And Hagar says, no, I'm privileged just as well as you. I'm a wife to Abraham. I'm entitled to the privileges that you have. I'm not going to be a slave anymore. I'm not going to be subject to you. Her pride rose up, and she became likewise angry. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her. Was this right on the part of Hagar? No. When we are in a fit of anger and in resentment and we leave our position in pride and in haughtiness and walk out on it, it's not right. To bear patiently, to be submissive, and to await what God will do is much better. But to act in a fit of passion and anger, we never do things rightly. Hagar, she fled from her mistress. She went out of the house. She went away from Abraham and the family, and she departed. In her mind, she was never going to return anymore. See, my hearers, what happened in and through this marriage. Nothing but trouble. Had they consulted God, had they awaited for him to fulfill his divine promises, this would have never taken place. But they went ahead in their own way, and this is what they received. They had nobody to thank for their guilt and for their sin and for what had come upon them but themselves. And now we find Hagar, she's fleeing back to the land of Egypt. And then we read, an angel of the Lord came unto her and found her by the well, or by the pool, which led to Egypt, on the way to Shur. An angel of the Lord. There sat Hagar, probably tired of the journey that she had made, and she was sitting by this well. And there came an angel of God and spake unto her and said unto her, Hagar, from whence comest thou, and where goest thou? As if to say, where did you come from, and what do you intend to do? He knew her by name. He spake unto her. He arrested her. He stopped her. And she, in faithfulness and in honesty, said unto him, I am fleeing from my mistress, Sarai. And now the angel spake unto her and said, return to thy mistress and be subject unto her. For thou art with child, and thou shalt bear a son, and I shall call his name Ishmael, and he shall become, and his posterity, a great nation. He shall be a wild man, and every man's hand shall be against him. For this is the first time in the Bible that any man received a name before he was born. God spake to Hagar that she should call this child Ishmael. The meaning is, God seeth me. And now, my hearers, my time is gone. I'd like to continue with this. For we have such a fit emblem of the way God stops a sinner in this Hagar. She wasn't seeking after God. She was sitting there. And the Lord Jesus came in the personage of an angel to her and speak unto her. How wonderful this was for this woman, and how wonderful it is if in this life God comes to you and I and stops us and apprehends us and says unto us, where goest thou, and from where camest thou? Oh, what a mercy when God does speak in this way and lead us back to what we have done and give us to see where we are traveling to. Next week, the Lord willing, we'll pick up this story at this point. That is all for today.